Thank you, choir. I do declare that you all get better every single week. Thank you. Now, if you're able, if you would please rise for our scripture today. The first reading is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And if you would like to follow along, it's on page 186 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bibles. It's written about 61 AD. Paul was in prison in Rome, and he wrote this to the church he had founded in Philippi, Macedonia, which is now Greece. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset set as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And our gospel reading is Matthew 21, 1 through 11, and it's in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible on page 21. It's Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, I think, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this, your church, in this, your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now, O Lord, to share my testimony. Amen. A public scene, an overnight sensation. Palm Sunday, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem and people are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They're saying, "Save us now." And so we have this great crowd and religious expectation and cheering and festivity and people feeling so moved that they take off their tunic and their outer coat and throw it on the ground so that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords might come in to the city of Jerusalem. It was amazing to see this rallying of people. It was amazing to see this once again, because as you see, leading up to Palm Sunday, the crowds that Jesus preached to and followed him started to kind of get littler and littler and littler. And then we have this resurgence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and people just can't hold back. Just can't hold back, because they're feeling so much emotion about Jesus coming into the city. It's such an excitement. And yet, something happened. And we ask ourselves, what changed? What changed? The excitement died down, and the crowds, as we know, got smaller, and people kind of ran away. And Jesus then becomes publicly attacked, and things start to snowball pretty quickly. But because they couldn't discredit his moral character, some of the people then changed and to take some desperate measures. Why did they turn against him? There's some deeper causes. Why, when we look at Palm Sunday and we go then to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, what changed? And that is the question today we're going to consider, is what did change? Why did the cheering stop? Sermon note number one, Palm Sunday's praise turned into Friday's passion. Palm Sunday's praise turned into Friday's passion. As I've thought about this, there are three distinct things that happen that Jesus began to emphasize on that Palm Sunday. And these are the three things that I think changed people. The first one is this, is that what changed was Jesus began to talk more about commitment. Sermon note number two. Jesus began to talk more about commitment. And he does this in front of all. You know, we think about some of the stories that Jesus, when he was with the rich young ruler and he asks him, he says, you know, Lord, what must I do to follow you? And he says, well, you got to sell everything you have and you've got to follow. Commitment. And we remember the rich young ruler just being dumbfounded, like, what? We have Jesus that is talking about grace and feeding the 5,000 and heals people and does these things. And now we come to a point in time where the time for miracles is over and the time for commitment is now. And so what also happened is when we come about talking about commitment, what the people noticed was there weren't so much fanfare anymore. There wasn't so much miraculous healing, but now is the time to commit yourself to follow Jesus Christ, to follow the way of the Father, to follow those things that Jesus proclaimed. You know, all four of the Gospels, all four of them in the Bible have shouts of Hosanna. But after Palm Sunday, there wasn't another miracle recorded. And nearly half of all these Gospels deal with the time from Palm Sunday to the death and resurrection of Jesus. The last 7 days of Jesus' life, people were called to commitment. And today, we too, on this Palm Sunday, are called to commitment. To commitment. You know, we all know what it's like to participate. But do we really understand what it calls to be committed? That's very difficult. It's very different. I can participate in something, but can I commit to it? And we know that in this world, there are things that are going to change. We know that there are things that are going to rub us the wrong way. We know that there are things that are going to hurt us. But are we committed to the cause of Jesus Christ? Are we committed to following Him? One of the biggest blessings I see sometimes as a pastor is when I meet people and they say, I'm glad you're here, but when you're not here, I'm still here. This is my church. I'm committed. It's amazing. And you know, sometimes we as the church, things get rough, things get tough, and all of a sudden, we maybe see ourselves as maybe fans of Jesus than actual followers. When you think about that, are you, Kyle Eidemann in his book uses this, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower? Now think about the Cincinnati Reds. They've been doing really well, haven't they? All right. No, not at all. And isn't it interesting, you know, like Reds opening day, you see, you know, the parade and everybody's like out there. And then people now are going, what is, no, did you go to the game? No. Did you watch the game? No. See, that's the difference between a fan or a follower. A fan is going to use the hype. We're going to use the great record and everything. But when things go bad, fans stop and they walk away. And so today we're asked, are you committed, completely committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, even when the miracles stop, even when times get tough, even when there's so much change in our lives or change in our church, are you committed? And Christ preaches that, and that's the first thing that changed. And so I ask you to remember today, are you a fan or are you a follower? And that's one of the things that came very clear. Jesus began to talk more about commitment. The second thing, as I scan the Gospels, as I've read this and reflected on it, the second thing is this. This is what changed. Jesus dared to suggest that all people are worth loving. Jesus dared to suggest that all people are worth loving. Do we struggle with that? As a denomination, are we struggling with that? As a church family, are we struggling with that? All people are worth loving. You know, one of the things that we get in this last 4 or 5 days of Jesus' life is he gives us that new commandment. The first commandment we're told is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, I give you that new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And you see, back then, Jesus dared to suggest that all people were worth loving. And he goes into the temple and he drives out money changer, and then he invites people in, the lame, the poor, the sick, the outcast. I mean, he dares to bring in some seedy people into that temple because everyone has access to the love of God. We can't ever forget that. Everyone has access to the love of God. And who are we to stand in judgment of our brothers and our sisters? Everyone. And so when Jesus entered Jerusalem, why did the cheering stop? Well, I believe that Jesus opened the door to the temple. Jesus opens the door to our church, to everyone. And it still angers people today. It still angers people today. And the third I wanted to talk one more thing about all people are worth loving. You know, this kind of just came to me as I'm preaching up here. I'll never forget one of the churches that I served in Central Ohio. It was a beautiful church, very much like this building. Beautiful entryway, you know, just, and it was one of those churches that they had the country church and they built the new church on top of the country church. And, you know, in those little country churches, if you've ever been in, they got little stone basements, and you see, that's where their fellowship halls used to be a long time ago. And you go down into that. And I remember, it probably was in the early 2000s, I was working on my graduate degree, counseling and addiction. And I remember one of our assignments was to find either an AA meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and to go and to be a part of it and witness what goes on. And so there was this beautiful church, this beautiful entranceway, and, you know, had wings all over the place. And I went that evening to the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I remember walking through the front of the door, and I couldn't tell where the meeting was. Couldn't tell. Like, this is kind of weird, you know? I mean, it says it's here at this church, but what's going on? And I'll never forget going into the church and asking one of the people that was in the Northex at the time, where is the Narcotics Anonymous meeting? And the person said to me, oh, you don't know? And I said, what don't I know? Go around the back of the church. There's a little door. It leads down a few flights of stairs to the old church basement. And I went down to that old church basement. And there it was, people around a table in a dark, musty room. And I asked him, so why aren't we meeting in one of the rooms in the church? And this is what I heard. Well, we don't want people like that coming in the main door. You see, Jesus dared to suggest that all people are worth loving. Everyone should come through our front door. We shouldn't be fishing them around. That's what Jesus did. He opened those temples. He goes in, he up just the money changers and turns the table and invites people in. And so one of our things that we need to focus on is not just our commitment, but that are also our commitment to loving everyone and treating everyone with the love of God that they deserve. And here's the last one I've come up with. Jesus began to talk more about a cross. You see, when we think about the history of the church, and we think about God and Israel, you know, how Jesus saved and how God delivered his people from deserts and exiles and things like that. It was so amazing. But now Jesus is talking more and more about a cross. And we hear in the scriptures that Jesus says this, if anyone would truly follow me, he must take up his cross and follow. Take up his cross and follow. This is one of those situations I feel when Jesus begins to talk more about a cross. If you really read the stories of what happened during Holy Week, what happened right after Jesus was crucified, is that people they just went back to what they did before they met him. They just kind of went back to the status quo. And we hear sometimes that they're, you know, the disciples sometimes were just, they just couldn't understand. And so they just went back to what they were doing. And we know that some of them couldn't even understand why even a cross. But Jesus had preached this. Jesus had told them that if you truly want to be my followers, take up your cross and follow me. Life can be awesome. Life can be full of beauty and praise, and we thank God for that. But when we have a cross in our lives, we are to take it up and follow Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. But sometimes when that gets handed to us, we often say to Jesus, I didn't think you really meant it. I didn't think you meant it. And that's what happened in those early days of when Palm Sunday, that as Jesus talked about a cross, as he became persecuted, as he got arrested, you know, it was all there. And people left because they were afraid. And so as we go to what changed, we focus on that Jesus began to talk more about a commitment. And so today I ask you to consider your commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you a fan or are you a follower? And Jesus dared to suggest that all people are worth loving. Who in your life have you not loved? Who in our lives have we marginalized? Who in our lives maybe have we just forgotten about because they're not like us? We've got to remember that Jesus opened the doors to the church to all, and everyone is worth loving. And number three is that Jesus began to talk more about a cross, but it was that cross that bought us our salvation. That cross that reminded us that nothing could ever separate us from His love. The cross says, I mean it. You're mine. I love you. I want you for eternity. Jesus began talking more about commitment, about opening the doors, and talking about a cross. And our third sermon note today is Jesus' eyes were focused on God, His Heavenly Father. You know, we hear it. We're going to hear it on Maundy Thursday that it wasn't easy even for Jesus. He went before God when he was praying and he said, Father, if you can take this cup away from me, but not my will, but yours. And so as we come to an end of this Palm Sunday, we remember that Jesus' eyes were focused on God. And that's what we need to do as we go on today and we go to Easter and we celebrate Easter. That we think, yes, Lord, I am committed to you. Yes, Lord, I am going to love everyone. And yes, Lord, I'm going to take up my cross because my eyes are focused on God. My eyes are focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to share with you a Palm Sunday song that I've sung for many years. That's an older song called The Palms by Gabriel Fauré. And I want to thank Flo Varner for finding this for me. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song about that Palm Sunday day. And it talks about people, because of Jesus, getting their freedom from degradation. People get free and their darkness is turned into light. And that people are emancipated through the boundless love of the Christ of Bethlehem. Remembering that where Jesus came from and where he is now. So I offered you the Holy City, Jim. Thank you.
Green palms and blossoms gay are strewn this day in festive preparation, where Jesus comes to wipe our tears away. E'en now the throng to welcome him prepare. Join all and sing his name declare. Let every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna, praise to the Lord. Bless him who comes to bring us salvation. His word goes forth, and people by its might once more their freedom gain from degradation. Humanity give to each his right. while those in darkness find restored the light. Join all and sing his name, declare. Let every voice resound in acclamation. Hosanna, praise to the Lord. Bless him who cometh to bring us salvation. Sing and rejoice, O blessed Jerusalem. Of all thy sons, sing the emancipation. Through boundless love, the Christ of Bethlehem brings faith, the hope to thee forevermore. Join all and sing his name, declare. Let every voice resound in acclamation. Hosanna, praise to the Lord. Blessing who cometh to bring us salvation.
Let's bow our heads. God, we praise you as our Lord and Savior, and we bless you who come to bring us salvation this Palm Sunday. God, be with us as our hearts as we walk this week, as we walk this week with you. God, as we when we gather on Maundy Thursday, Lord, and we take communion and we remember your Last Supper, Lord, may commitment and love and the promise of the cross just infuse our hearts and our minds. God, bring us together now. Bring us together on Easter Sunday as we celebrate once again you who died for our sins. Father, help us when we find it difficult to love, when we find it difficult to commit. And may we know, Lord, that when we place our trust in you, when we take up our cross, that you've got us, you've got our back, and you promised us a life everlasting. Amen.